This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise.
In the instance of our projects in Zambia, the system we put in at Sioma High School, we also upgraded all the lighting. The students were able to study late into the night, so they immediately saw, you know, just 1 year later, they saw a dramatic improvement in the exam pass rates, over 80% improvement.
In physics, electricity is power. Electricity can also be power, though, in the sense that it creates opportunity for the pursuit of social capital and positive outcomes. This week on Sea Change Radio, we highlight the efforts of two nonprofits that are working to bring clean, affordable energy to some of the most under-resourced people on the planet. First, we hear from Anya Cherneff of Empower Generation, who gives us a snapshot of her organization's efforts to bring electricity to people in Nepal and how it connects to fighting human trafficking in Southeast Asia. Then, Maura Haynes from Empowered by Light talks about the difference her organization has made both in Nepal and Zambia. I'm joined now on Sea Change Radio by Anya Cherneff. She's the co-founder and executive director of Empower Generation. Anya, welcome to Sea Change Radio.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
For our listeners, what is Empower Generation in a nutshell?
Empower Generation is a social enterprise that creates women-led businesses in Nepal that distribute clean energy technologies in their communities. So solar lanterns, solar home systems, improved cook stoves, water filters, a whole host of products being sold by women to women at the local level.
And we're speaking to Maura Haynes from Empowered by Light later in the show, and she can tell us more about the actual solar technology, but I wanted to focus a little bit on the work that you and your organization do in helping women in needy situations. Why don't you first maybe take a step back and explain some of your background with sex trafficking industry?
Sure. Started my work, I would say, working in women's rights organizations and primarily nonprofit and development work, and worked for a number of years on anti-human trafficking and modern day slavery projects, specifically around advocacy and anti-prostitution campaigns, and got it's a really tough issue to be working on, and got a little bit tired or burnt out or disenfranchised from the whole thing, and kind of got to the point where I was realizing that although the work that I was doing was important, it seemed like just putting a Band-Aid on a giant wound. And for every woman that was rescued from sexual slavery, there would just be another woman probably the next day right in the same place that that woman that we had rescued in her spot, because the underlying issues that were creating these vulnerabilities for women to go abroad or take these big risks for a job and ending up in these situations of sexual exploitation was poverty and the lack of local economic opportunities, not only for many people across the developing world and in countries like Nepal, where there's very little industry, but especially for women who were undervalued and underutilized in the formal economy, in many formal economies around the world. So I kind of had this idea to provide women not only opportunities to earn income and to have a steady job that would reduce their vulnerability to taking a risk like traveling abroad for work that could lead them into a situation where they could be trafficked, but also to train them to lead their own company and be business leaders, employ both men and women, make an impact on their small community as a small business owner by creating jobs, and have that business be providing a service to the community that was critical to the entire community's development. So by selling power to people that don't have any power, you're really changing everybody's lives while earning an income and running a business in the meantime. So that's kind of where my background is. My passion is really in creating a platform for women to be able to realize their full and tremendous potential. And clean energy in Nepal's context is a great way to do that.
Why did you decide to focus on Nepal, if you can?
Yeah, sure. So Nepal is one of the 10th poorest countries in the world. It has less than 70% of Nepal's GDP comes from remittances or funding coming from abroad. It's incredibly donor dependent and outside aid dependent communities, and there's very little industry and very little economic opportunity. And one of the major reasons that this exists is because there is unreliable access to electricity. So just about 40% of the population don't have access to reliable electricity, and which means that they can't really like run heavy machinery or operate a computer or do much of anything during the day. And the rest of the country suffers from daily blackouts that can last anywhere from 4 to 18 hours a day. So the energy situation in Nepal is pretty bad, and that leaves a lot of lack of job creation, job opportunities. And in Nepal, women are traditionally marginalized and pretty unequal in society. It's not very easy for women to own property. Women are basically bought and sold using the dowry system. The average age of girls getting married is under 18 and having children. And many of the women that we work with have less than a 10th grade education because they were pulled out of school before finishing their high school degrees to get married and move away and essentially become part of their husband's family or property of their husband's family. So there's lots of opportunities to create equal playing field for women in Nepal. And it, like you said, it's a major source country for human trafficking, not just for sex trafficking, but also forced labor because of the lack of jobs available in the country. A lot of people migrate abroad in search of employment.
So Anya, you explained why your organization has focused its energies on Nepal. Maybe you can go into a little more detail on how getting clean energy to them helps them in many ways other than what one might expect.
Yeah, so an average customer or household customer that we work with in Nepal in a rural area can spend up to 40% of their income on household fuels for lighting and cooking. So that means that people are buying very expensive kerosene, candles, battery backups, portable battery-powered flashlights, firewood, and charcoal just for their daily, day-to-day use at home. And this fuel is not only really expensive, it's also incredibly dangerous. Over 50% of Nepal's rural population suffers from respiratory illnesses that are caused from indoor air pollution, from cooking and kerosene fumes. These fuels are also really inefficient. So the majority of women and children especially spend their nights in the dark without proper lighting and proper fuel to be productive, do their homework, or work after dark. So just buying a solar lantern that costs about $30 creates a payback of over $200 throughout the lifespan of that solar lantern for this typical rural family. And the payback is within less than 3 months. So within 3 months, this family is already saving on candles and kerosene and batteries and things that they don't need to purchase anymore to have enough lighting. Kids are able to study for the very first time after dark, which greatly improves their academic chances to go on for continued education, and women have enough light and enough time to be productive at night and to finish their household work. So just a small solar light can make a really big impact on a family, especially on women and children who suffer the most from what's called energy poverty.
Lord, if I ever needed someone, I need you. Lord, if I ever needed someone, I need you. See me through the daytime, through the long, lonely night. Lead me through the darkness, yeah, on into the light.
Stand with me when I'm in trouble, and help me through my strife. When times get so uncertain, I turn to you. Turn to you in my life.
Lord, if I ever needed someone, I need you.
Lord,
if I ever needed someone,
follow the shift to sustainability with Sea Change Radio on Twitter at twitter.com/SeaChangeRadio and on our Facebook page.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking to the co-founder and executive director of Empower Generation, Anya Chernev. So Anya, maybe you can address also how Nepal stands apart from other Southeast Asian countries that also have human trafficking issues in terms of, I'm thinking more specifically of its altitude and its remoteness from easily deliverable fossil fuel energy.
Yeah, so Nepal is nestled in the foot of the Himalayas. The Himalayas are the largest mountain range in the world, and it's very, very difficult for things to be imported and also grown and produced there in the hillsides of Nepal. So geographically, it's a tough country. It's also a small country nestled in between the two powerhouses of Asia, India and China. And it gets forgotten many times in the global economic forum and in the world. And China and India definitely play a lot of political land grab and games in Nepal, and that make imports really difficult. So for example, right after the earthquake in 2015, there were millions of people that were suffering without homes and without proper resources for the winter. And Nepal passed the first constitution it's passed in 50 years, and there was a closure at the border between India and Nepal, and the official reason was that there was a lot of political unrest, which was dangerous, but the real reason was that India was not happy with the terms that were passed in the constitution, and that caused a border shutdown that lasted for 3 months, meaning a fuel crisis and a lot, as well as many other necessary goods such as medicine and foodstuffs were blocked from entering into Nepal, throwing the country into an even more crazy uproar than it was already in dealing with the aftermath of the earthquake.
And how much interaction does your organization have to have with the Nepalese government? And maybe you can expand on how you got a foothold in the country to provide the services you do, and how you're continuing to kind of engage with either the government or non-governmental organizations in Nepal.
Other than myself, we are a pretty much all Nepali team. Our organization in Nepal is led by my co-founder and partner, Sita Adhikari, who is a Nepali woman who is living in Nepal and organizing our organization in the country. We are registered independently, both as a for-profit and a non-profit company operating in Nepal. And we do work with the government on a range of renewable energy projects that participate in lots of bids to work with them directly. We worked with them in close contact after the earthquake to import 20,000 solar lanterns to serve as direct response aid, and we do participate in renewable energy subsidy programs when it's appropriate for our customers.
She's the co-founder and executive director of Empower Generation, Anya Chernev. Anya, thanks so much for being my guest on Sea Change Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
To listen to Sea Change Radio anytime, anyplace, just subscribe to our free podcast. Simply follow the link from seachangeradio.com or search for us in the iTunes podcast directory.
I'm joined now on Sea Change Radio by the co-founder of Empowered by Light, Mara Haynes. Mara, welcome to Sea Change Radio.
Thanks so much for having me, Alex.
So you've been on Sea Change Radio a few years back. Why don't you first remind our listeners who may have missed our first discussion what Empowered by Light's mission is.
I'd be happy to. Empowered by Light is a nonprofit organization that aims to improve lives and the environment through renewable energy technologies. And to be more specific, those are solar projects. So we really target developing countries and areas where we can empower communities, vulnerable communities, so that can be communities living in very remote areas without access to power. And often those are indigenous communities that happen to be located where we have some of the world's kind of last remaining areas of critical biodiversity as well. So we're really seeking to strengthen and empower those communities to sustain their culture and sustain the health of the planet from which we all benefit.
So when we spoke last in 2013, Mara, Empowered by Light was working on a project in Zambia. How is that going?
That's gone extremely well. We had built a 24-kilowatt solar system with battery storage for a high school in the very remote, kind of isolated region of Western Zambia. It's Sioma High School. There are approximately 30 buildings on that campus, and some students travel often for days to reach campus, and then they'll actually stay on site until it's time to go home for a holiday. So it has a kind of a structure almost like a boarding school, but it's in a very poor area. And we put in this solar system, which has powered the school since we commissioned it in August of 2013. And the school continues to run 100% on that system. And that system had displaced three really old, inefficient diesel generators. So that's, another example of where we're really trying to demonstrate that developing countries can leapfrog fossil fuels by choosing renewable energy for their power source.
And now you've moved beyond Zambia, and you are doing work in countries in Asia as well. Why don't you update our listeners on your work there?
Sure. I mean, just to summarize, so we've also gone into South America. We've done work in the Amazon Basin, in Colombia, Ecuador, and Brazil. We've also expanded in Africa into the Congo for Virunga National Park. We put in three systems in Virunga last year. And now we're also working in Nepal in partnership with Empower Generation, another nonprofit organization that's based there. And last year, or between the end of 2016 and the beginning of this year, We have installed solar systems for two tourist towers and one ranger station in Chitwan National Park in Nepal.
And explain how you are able to enter a new country like Nepal. Do you usually work with the governments or do you just partner with other NGOs?
In this case, we're just partnering with another NGO, but also with a local solar installer. So it's Empower by Light always tries to find local partners. For the majority of our projects, we always have a local partner. It really makes sense to share knowledge in terms of knowledge and funding, have a local partner that helps you with logistics, that helps with navigating cultural sensitivities, that already has relationships with local leadership and with the political structure. So we found that that really is the key to success. You know, if we're entering into a country where we don't you know, we haven't been active before and we don't already have those relationships, then it makes all the sense in the world to, you know, to take on a local partner. And that's been really, that's worked out really well for us.
So an average Zambian or Nepalese or Kenyan citizen, how do they enjoy the benefits of the hard work by you and your colleagues at Empowered by Light?
Well, in the instance of our projects in Zambia, the system we put in at Sioma High School, we also upgraded all the lighting. The students were able to study late into the night. So they immediately saw, you know, just 1 year later, they saw a dramatic improvement in the exam pass rates, over 80% improvement. They were able to start a debate club. It also brought them more prestige. It formerly had been a school that had a lot of difficulty with retaining teachers because it was so remote. You know, a lot of the teachers, you know, would only stay on for a short period of time. And putting that system in not only made the students and teachers' lives more comfortable, but it did add prestige to what had been a very, very poor area. So it became, if you will, a destination. The school and the whole region is very proud of that system. There were additional benefits that we hadn't anticipated. For example, with the new focus on that region, the government went and spent money to put in proper toilets and showers, whereas before they had had, you know, a very crude, basic, you know, latrine, to be very frank, just a hole in the ground. And so they had improved hygiene and sanitation, and there were fewer incidents of sexual assault. This is high school level, and the improved lighting and improved power source, very reliable power source, it, you know, just improved the safety. And those are some of the outcomes that we hadn't anticipated. So that's in the case of Zambia. And also another project we did in Zambia was where we put in a 10-kilowatt system on next to a school, which uses about 2 kilowatts of power. And then we ran subterranean lines to the community members' homes, and they subscribed for power services. And that's an excellent model because everyone benefits from the system. Everyone has a vested interest in making sure that that system is cared for and you know, used properly. And, you know, a number of businesses have popped up because, you know, people are now, you know, buying refrigerators and they're selling, you know, cool drinks and things from their refrigerators. So there's all these small businesses that have, you know, been created as a result of putting in that power system. And formerly they had no power. They're just, you know, relying on either a small diesel generator or, you know, or kerosene. So that's another example in Zambia. In Nepal, the system that we put in for the ranger station is to really improve the lives of those rangers. You know, there are ranger stations that are, you know, deep and isolated in the national park. And, you know, they're very isolated from their families. So giving them a more comfortable existence just improves the quality of their lives and, you know, improves how they view their jobs. And their jobs are to, you know, protect the in often cases, very critically endangered species that inhabit Chitwan National Park. And now they have light, you know, fans that keep them cool. They have good lighting. They can have a television. They can communicate by cell phone with their families more readily. And it's just improved their lives. So the power systems that we put for the two tourist towers are having a dramatic impact. They're essentially tree houses, fairly large tree houses. So they're above ground. So they enable tourists, you and I, for example, could go and stay overnight in these tourist towers where we're able to really see and experience the wildlife of Chitwan National Park in comfort and in safety. And the power has provided lights and fans for cooling and runs the water system. So there are, you know, toilets and running water and whatnot. So they're not, so they're very comfortable accommodations. And the revenue that's generated from those tourist towers goes back into the communities that are on that outer ring of the park known as the buffer zone. And, you know, these are, in most cases, very, very poor communities. And by having the tourist towers solarized, if you will, and having them generate income, it is helping those communities understand that protecting the wildlife in that park has real benefit. So instead of, you know, going to poach one of the animals, one of the critically endangered animals like the rhino, you know, they're able to see, boy, we're generating revenue that comes back directly to our community by having people come and stay the night in these tourist towers. And they've only been operational. One started in end of November of last year and the other in late January. And they've already generated about $3,500. That's a lot of money in Nepal. And that money is used by the buffer zone in a number of ways to basically support that community. So it's at their discretion. They can use it in a number of ways. But one of the main ways they use that money is to put up protective fencing. So it protects the community from, you know, let's say an elephant that's come in to take food. The elephants have actually come in directly to people's homes to steal food, to steal rice. And so putting up the protective fencing protects the elephants from the people and protects the people from elephants, and they can be quite dangerous. So it's really a win-win, and it's really helping those communities understand the value of the park and the value of protecting the park.
Maybe you can explain how you find these really worthwhile projects. How do you become aware of the need of these rangers in Nepal, for example?
Well, Alex, people just approach us with ideas. They learn about the work that we're doing, and they see the value that it's, the impact that it's having, the value that it's providing, and they ask us to consider a new region. Or sometimes it's just within our own network, because we certainly are involved or know, you know, others at other nonprofits that are doing amazing work around the world. And so we might come up with an idea and propose it to them. But when you consider that 1.3 billion people are still living without access to electricity, I mean, the need is so great. There's simply no shortage of projects out there.
She's the co-founder of Empowered by Light, Mara Haynes. Mara, thanks so much for being my guest on Sea Change Radio.
Thanks, Alex.
Sway the future to the past and find what will endure.
You've been listening to Sea Change Radio. Our intro music is by Sanford Lewis, and our outro music is by Alex Wise. Additional music by Chris Joss and Van Morrison with Mavis Staples. Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, Paul Hawken, and many others. And tune in to Sea Change Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For Sea Change Radio, I'm Alex Wise.